الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد all praise due to Allah and may Allah send His peace and His blessings upon His final messenger Muhammad the son of Abdullah and His companions and whomever follows them on their righteous path until the day of judgment. As to what follows, last week alhamdulillah we stopped in the middle of belief in qadr, decree, preordainment, destiny, or depending on what definition they give it, khayrihi wa sharrihi, the good and the bad. And we established the fact that the decree of Allah is never evil. Whatever Allah does from an action of decreeing something is good, although the outcome may seem to be evil to the people, but because whenever attributed to Allah, no. وَالشَّرُّ لَيْسَ إِلَيْكَ كَمَا قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. In evil is not attributed to you. طيب. And we mentioned the example of the zani and the fornicator, that if he commits fornication, that he will be kicked out and all these things will happen to him. And although this is evil as far as he's concerned, it's actually good for the society, it's good for him, it's good in more than one way. Shaykh says, Shaykh bin Uthameen rahimahullah, in his sharh of the book of Ibn Taymiyyah, Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyyah, أما بالنسبة للأمور الكونية القدرية فهناك شيء يكون شرا باعتباره مقدورا كالمقدورا كالمرض مثلا. He says, as for the affairs, the universal decree, the affairs of the universe, the decree of whatever Allah decrees in the universe, he says, there will be something that is considered also to be evil as a result of the decree of Allah, such as illness or sickness, whichever one you want. He says, فَالْإِنسَانُ إِذَا مَرِضْ فَلَا شَكَّ أَنَّ الْمَرَضَ شَرٌّ بِالنِّسْبَةِ إِلَيْهِ. He says, if the human being becomes sick, inevitably the sickness is evil as far as he's concerned. I mean, you don't want to really be coughing, you don't want to be sneezing, you don't want to be blowing your nose the whole time, and this is minor sickness, let alone something even more major than that. لكن فيه خير له في الواقع وخيره تكفير الذنوب. He says, but there's actually goodness in that, and the goodness is the expiation of the sins. Expiation of the sins meaning the removal, the forgiveness of the sins. فقد يكون الإنسان عليه ذنوب ما كفر الاستغفار والتوبة لوجود مانع مثلا لعدم صدق نيته مع الله عز وجل. He says, there are sins, for instance, that were not forgiven due to the person seeking forgiveness or sincere repentance. طيب. Because usually one of the ways of getting rid of your sins is by doing istighfar or repenting to Allah. If you repent from a sin, then it is as if you've never committed that sin. Does anyone here knows the condition of the tawbah? Tawbah has shurut. Otherwise, it's not considered tawbah. Not anyone who says astaghfirullah atubu ilayh had actually done the act of repentance. There are conditions that need to be met in order for the tawbah to be valid. The number one they say is sincerity. You do the tawbah for the sake of Allah, not for the people. Because you may be doing a sin and you become shy of people seeing you. So you stop doing it because of the people, not because of Allah. Not because you're shy of Allah, not because you're afraid of Allah, rather you're worried about the people's comments. So you stop, don't work, no tawbah there. Number two condition is al-nadam, regret. You gotta regret. If you don't feel bad, you don't have no tawbah. If you don't feel, you have to feel bad. Number three is al-tarku shay, or إذا كان واجب الاتيان به, leaving that thing alone. Or if it's compulsory act that you have been leaving alone, doing it. طيب. If it's cigarettes, smoking, you have to leave it alone. You have to stop it. If it's something that you haven't been doing, like giving people their rights, you have to give them their rights. Fourthly, having the intention never to go back again. Having the intention never to go back again. يعني you don't do a temporary repentance. For example, a thief has been informed that the police are running hot in the streets. What that means, يعني the police are They're out there catching thieves. So he says, man, this is rough times. I will hold on stealing for a few weeks until the police are cool. Then I'll go back to stealing. So I'll repent in the meantime. We say, no, Habibi. Once you have the intention to go back, even if it's after Allah knows how long, this is no tawbah. You have to have the intention never to go back again. Fifthly, it has to be done before you die. Or before the sun rises from where it sets. Yani the end of the life and the day of judgment. When the people will see it, they know then at that time that whatever they've been told is the truth, then iman will not benefit someone, neither will repentance. And when you die. Now you may be in the sickness of death. Yani you are in the bed and you still have some life, you may repent then. We're talking about when the soul reaches the hulqum, the throat, and it's about to, the collarbone, يعني, and it's about to leave. يعني خلاص, you know this is it. You've seen the angels, it's done. You want to repent then? No repentance. And finally, an extra condition some of the scholars mentioned, رَدُّ الْمَظَالِمِ. If it deals with the people's rights, you have to give it back to them. If you stole some money, you have to give the money back to the one you stole from. Repentance is pending until the rights are given back to the people. طيب. Six conditions for tawbah to be valid, otherwise no tawbah. So anyway, sins are forgiven by either repenting, by seeking forgiveness and repenting to Allah. If you repent, Allah will wipe out the sin as if you never committed. This is from the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. And from the quality of being the tawwab, the one that oft accepting the repentance, يعني, the continuously accepting the repentance of his servants Azza wa Jal. إيه ما كفرها الذنوب ما كفرها الاستغفار والذنوب لوجود مانع. So there's a prevention. The reason these sins were not forgiven by seeking forgiveness or by repentance because of some barrier. He says, perhaps a person wasn't truthful in his, he wasn't sincere in his repentance to Allah Azza wa Jal. فتأتي هذه الأمراض والعقوبات فتكفر هذه الذنوب. So the illness and punishments come to expiate these sins. And this is from the mercy of Allah. So now even the calamity that befalls upon us, or even the sickness that one of us may complain about, which is يعني, not appropriate, may Allah give us the right understanding of these things, is actually goodness. And the more you suffer, the more your sins will be forgiven. And you are much better suffering in this dunya and leaving without sins than having a good life and worrying about them on the day of judgment. Now, ma'alish, over then it's a whole other scenario. وَمِنْ خَيْرِهِ أَنَّ الْإِنسَانِ لَا يَعْرِفُ قَدْرَ نِعْمَةِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ بِالصَّحَّةِ إِلَّا إِذَا مَرِضْ. نحن الآن أصحاء ولا ندري ما قدر الصحة, لكن إذا حصل المرض عرفنا قدر الصحة. He says, and among the goodness is that the human does not know the virtue or the value, I'm sorry, of the bounty upon him, such as health. You really don't pay attention to it because you have it with you. He says, until he becomes ill. He says, now we're feeling well. Now we're in good shape, alhamdulillah. And we don't know the value of this because we have it. But if we become sick, then we will value the health that we had earlier. Yani when all your body parts were functioning well until you broke your leg. You know what I'm saying? May Allah protect us. Before you didn't think when you walk into the masjid, wallah, big deal. You never even thought that everything is functioning. You're walking fast, make it to the masjid. Until you break your leg and you walk into the masjid like this, then you say, Subhanallah, I was in the ni'mah before. But we never really thought of it, right? Why? When the sickness came. So this is good. This is actually good. فالصحة تاجن على رؤوس الأصحاء لا يعرفها إلا المرضى. The Sheikh said an example. They say health is a crown on the heads of the healthy people. None know about it except the ill people. They're the only ones who see this crown of health because they don't have it. But the person doesn't even pay attention that he has a crown of health on his head. هذا أيضا خير وهو أنك تعرف قدر النعمة. This is also good because you get to value the bounty of Allah عز وجل. طيب. ومن خيره أنه قد يكون في هذا المرض أشياء تقتل جراثيم في البدن لا يقتلها إلا المرض. Among the goodness, and this is new to us, this is medically speaking. He said that there are some diseases, there are some bacterias that are in the body that are not removed or killed until you become sick with a particular disease. So he said the doctors say there are some illnesses that kill certain bacteria in the body, in the human body, and you do not know that. Yani had it not been for that illness, you would have not gotten rid of such bacteria. Wallahu a'lam. Perhaps it is true, because that's why they have now vaccination, in order to get your body ready. When this particular germ comes, how your body to create the, you know, the blood cells or whatever to defend. So basically, when a bacteria come, you wind up generating things that will eventually help you through to overcome other bacteria that may be present at the same time. Wallahu a'lam. Maybe this is what is intended. Al-muhim. فالحاصل أننا نقول أولا الشر الذي وصف به القدر هو شر بالنسبة لمقدور الله. أما تقدير الله فكله خير والدليل قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم والشر ليس إليك. He says the bottom line of this, the summary of all this, is that we say the following. Number one, the evil that has been described regarding decree is only regarding the outcome of the decree, the outcome of the action of Allah Azza wa Jal, which is decreeing a particular thing, not the decree of Allah in and within itself. As we established before, you remember this, right? He says, because all of the decree of Allah is good. And the evidence for that is the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَشَرُّ لَيْسَ إِلَيْكَ, and evil is not attributed to you in any shape or form. Everything from Allah is good. The byproduct of the decree of Allah may be evil in terms of the people are concerned, as far as the people are concerned, but in and within itself, it's khayr, because Allah Azza wa Jal is good and everything that Allah does is good. طيب. ثانياً, the second thing that we understand from this summary of all this mention, أن الشر الذي في المقدور ليس شرا محضا. Even the evil that is in the byproduct of the decree of Allah is not pure evil. Not pure evil. بل هذا الشر قد ينتج عليه أمور هي خير. Rather, this evil may bring about affairs that are actually good. فتكون الشرية بالنسبة إليه أمرا إضافيا. So evil becomes only a something that may be just attributed to it, but not a total description. It's part of the attribute of the decree, but not a total description to it, because in that decree there's also goodness. So there's goodness and evil together. So you can no longer say it's pure evil, although we're talking about the maqdur, not the decree of Allah, the byproduct of the decree of Allah. Even that, we cannot really say it's purely evil, because there may be some goodness in it as well. So it only becomes a description, one of the attributes, but not a full description. Wallahu a'lam. هذا وسيتكلم المؤلف رحمه الله على القدر بكلام موسع أو موسع بين درجاته عند أهل السنة. That and the author of the book, may Allah have mercy on him, will speak about decree extensively, and he will mention the different levels of that. According to the people of Sunnah. According to the people of Sunnah. طيب. Now we're done with that. Alhamdulillah, we have finished the portion of the introduction of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, the beginning of it, what he mentioned, you know, that this is the belief system of the creed of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. طيب, the victorious group until the occurrence of the hour. And that is, they believe in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, life after death, and the day of judgment, and preordainment, the good and the bad, the good and the evil. Done. Now we move on to the next phase in the book. This is from the statement of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. قوله ومن الإيمان بالله الإيمان بما وصف به نفسه في كتابه وبما وصفه به رسوله محمد sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, and part of the belief in Allah, this is fundamental, ya akhwan, you have no idea how important this is. This is something that you may take with you to the grave. Furthermore, this is something that you should teach your children, speaking of the rights of children, because this is the essence of the life of a Muslim, understanding Allah Azza wa Jal and worship Him accordingly. Otherwise, we'll be lost. And we have been taught these things in order to learn them. Allah revealed them as part of the knowledge so we can have them. They're not things that the people came up on their own. This is all from the Quran and the Sunnah. Any understanding of the companions and the righteous predecessors. May Allah be pleased and have mercy on all of them. طيب. الشرح. So anyways. And part of the belief in Allah is believing in whatever Allah described Himself with in his book. And that which his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam described him with, of course, in the sunnah. Part of the belief in Allah is whatever Allah said about himself in the Quran, no room for discussion, no room for give and take, accept and decline. This is no room for you to impose your opinion on the revelation of Allah. This is khalas. This is from Allah. Likewise, whatever the Prophet ﷺ said authentically, we have to first verify authenticity, not any narration. طيب. قوله ومن الإيمان من هنا للتبعيد. Part of belief here, من means partially, يعني some, a part of belief. نعم. لأننا ذكرنا أن الإيمان بالله يتضمن أربعة أمور. Because you have mentioned that belief in Allah entails four things. Who remembers them? Don't look in the book. Wallah, wallah. You're not studying? But that's one. Let's do them in sequence. First thing, to believe that Allah exists. Then to believe in Allah.
Creation.
Rububiyyah. Lordship.
Uluhiyyah.
Uluhiyyah.
Asma'ul
Husna. And Allah being the only one deserving worship. Asma'ul Sifat. Four things. Right? Alhamdulillah. حسنت. يعني طيب الإيمان بوجوده وانفراده بالربوبية وبالألوهية وبالأسماء والصفات. يعني to believe in the existence of Allah عز وجل, Him being singled out in terms of lordship and worship and names and attributes. يعني بعض الإيمان بالله الإيمان بما وصف به نفسه. Meaning part of belief in Allah is believing what Allah described Himself عز وجل with. وقوله بما وصف به نفسه في كتابه ينبغي أن يقال وسمى به نفسه. Now the Sheikh here will intervene. He said regarding the statement of Ibn Taymiyyah رحمه الله, whatever Allah described himself with in his book, he said it would have been better to say whatever Allah named himself with in the Quran, not described but named. We will see why. These things make a difference, by the way. In the English maybe not, but it does make a difference. لكن المؤلف رحمه الله ذكر الصفة فقط. إما لأنه ما من اسم إلا ويتضمن صفة, أو لأن خلاف الأسماء خلاف ضعيف. He says, but the author, may Allah bless him, only mentioned this attribute, whatever Allah described himself with in the Quran, the description. He says, either, the reason why the Ibn Taymiyyah رحمه الله did this, either because every name inevitably has the description, so then we don't really have to say whatever he named himself, because if we say whatever he described himself, that description has to have a name. So no need for that, right? They both give the, you could use them interchangeably. They both give the same meaning. Or because the difference among the Muslims regarding their names is limited. Not that many people differed about that. لم ينكره إلا غلاة الجهمية والمعتزلة. None really denied it except the excessive among the جهمية and معتزلة. We will see who these groups are, and we discussed them in the beginning. فالمعتزلة يثبتون الأسماء. The معتزلة, they confirm the names of Allah. They say Allah has the names, but they don't confirm the attribute behind it. والعياذ بالله. والأشاعرة والماتريدية يثبتون الأسماء لكن يخالفون أهل السنة في أكثر الصفات. أن الأشاعرة and the الماتريدية, they also confirm the names, but they oppose أهل السنة in many of the attributes. طيب. فنحن الآن نقول لماذا اقتصر المؤلف على ما وصف الله به نفسه. So now we say, why did the مؤلف, the author, limit himself to saying whatever Allah described himself with? He says, لنقول لأحد أمرين, إما لأن كل اسم يتضمن صفة, أو وإما لأن الخلاف الأسماء قليل بالنسبة للمتسبين للإسلام. The Sheikh repeats in order for the information to sink in, and this is good actually. We memorize this way. He says again, we say for one of two reasons: either because every name has to have a description behind it, without a doubt, an attribute, يعني, or because the difference among the people who are Muslims is limited in terms of the difference of believing in the names of Allah. طيب. Now, the statement of Ibn Taymiyyah, whatever Allah described himself with in his book, في كتابه, في in, كتاب book, كتابه يعني القرآن, كتاب means the Quran, وسماه الله تعالى كتابا لأنه مكتوب في اللوح المحفوظ, ومكتوب في الصحف التي بأيدي السفرة الكرام البررة. The Shaykh Rahimahullah said, it is called kitab, Allah called it kitab, from the word kitaba, yaktub, to write. لأنه مكتوب, because it is written in the preserved tablet. اللوح المحفوظ. It's written there, right? We know that. ومكتوب في الصحف, and it's also written in the صحف, or the letters or the scriptures that the angels carry. That the angels carry as well when they would bring the revelation or what have you. بأيدي بررة كرام بررة نعم بأيدي سفرة كرام بررة نعم بأيدي سفرة بلا وصح كرام بررة نعم. ومكتوب كذلك بين الناس يكتبونه في المصاحف. Also it is written between the people. They write it in the مصحف. In the مصحف we have it in the Quran. So three locations: the preserved tablet with Allah Azza wa Jal, and the one with the angels, and the one between us. That's why the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَأَنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ, we have revealed or sent down the remembrance, the Quran, and we shall protect it. This encompasses all three, inevitably, because even if the non-Muslims all over the world came and burnt all the copies of the Quran, as we've discussed before, all we need is a few children to bring it right back, because it is preserved even in the chests of the people. This is the fourth category. The Sheikh didn't mention it, but we know that. Even if we don't have the book, it's memorized. But how did we get it? From the book. نعم. المهم. فهو كتاب بمعنى مكتوب. So it's a book meaning that which is written. وأضافه الله إليه لأنه كلامه سبحانه وتعالى. And Allah referred the book to him because it is the speech of Allah عز وجل. It is the speech of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And you know what Ahmad bin Hanbal, al-Imam al-Jaleel rahimah Allah ta'ala, and the other imma who came before him, like Abu Hanifa, Shafi'i, wal-Malik rahimah Allah jami'an, what he had to suffer because of this fitna of the Quran, where during his time they were trying to propagate the concept that the Quran was the creation of Allah and not the words of Allah, and they wanted him to go for that opinion, and he was threatened, he refused, he was lashed and humiliated in public, but Allah honored him and raised him, and Allah protected the deen, because he was the imam that was followed. Had he went with the flow, many of the Muslims may have been misguided regarding this belief system, but by the grace of Allah, it was protected. Well, we know that the Quran is the statement of Allah. We will deal in this book inshallah eventually with the evidences from the Quran where Allah called it kalamullah, the speech of Allah. وإن أحد من المشركين استجار فأجره حتى يسمع كلام الله. And if one of the polytheists, the mushrikeen, seek your protection, provide it to him so he will, until he hears the speech of Allah, كلام الله. Anyways, this is in the eventually, inshallah. فهذا القرآن كلام الله تكلم به حقيقة. This Quran is the speech of Allah. Allah spoke in it truly. Allah spoke it truly. يعني Allah said these words that we recite now. فكل حرف منه فأن الله قد تكلم به. Every single letter Allah عز وجل had said it. وفي هذه الجملة مباحث. Regarding this particular phrase, there are a number of discussions here. المبحث الأول أن من الإيمان بالله الإيمان بما وصف به نفسه. First discussion is that whatever is the part of belief in Allah, part of the belief in Allah is to believe that whatever Allah described himself with, عز وجل. طيب. ووجه ذلك أن الإيمان بالله كما سبق يتضمن الإيمان بأسمائه وصفاته. يتضمن الإيمان بأسمائه وصفاته, أو الإيمان بأسمائه وصفاته. And the reason why, because we have this established already that part of the belief in Allah is to believe in the names and the attributes of Allah. Right? طيب. فإن ذات الله تسمى بأسماء وتوصف بأوصاف. Allah عز وجل, His essence, the essence of Allah Himself, Allah Himself عز وجل, has names, Himself has names that He's named by, and has attributes that He is described by. Allah عز وجل Himself has names that He is named by, and attributes and qualities that He is described with, not described by, described with. نعم. ووجود ذات مجردة عن الأوصاف أمر مستحيل. To have Allah عز وجل Himself without any attributes is impossible. فلا يمكن أن توجد ذاتا مجردة عن الأوصاف أبدا. There is no such thing, an existing thing, being that doesn't have any attributes. It cannot. If it exists, that's an attribute. Being alive, huh? Or being existing, this is an attribute already. It has to have something to describe it. So if something doesn't have anything, it cannot exist, which means it's impossible with Allah Azza wa Jal that He will exist without having attributes. This is common sense. وَقَدْ يَفْرِضُ الظَّنَ أَنَّ هُنَاكَ ذَاتًا مُجَرَّدَةً مِنَ الصِّفَاتِ لَكِنِ الْفَرْضُ لَيْسَ كَالْأَمْرِ الْوَاقِعِ. He said, a person may still assume that there may be some being that doesn't have any attributes. He says, but that is not in accordance with the truth, with the facts. أي أن المفروض ليس كالمشهود. That which is assumed is not like that which is witnessed. That which is assumed is not like that which is witnessed. The second takes prior, takes precedence over the first. If you see something, that now ظن assumption has no room. Has no room. فلا يوجد في الخارج أي في الواقع المشاهد ذات ليس لها صفات أبدا. Even if you want to assume, if you find anything out there in the world that doesn't have anything that exists, that doesn't have attributes, no such thing. So that assuming is pointless right now, because what we see takes precedence over what we assume. طيب ممتاز. فالذهن قد يفرض مثلا شيئا له ألف عين. He's given some examples to bring some clarity. He says, for example, your brain might imagine a being that has 1,000 eyes. Right now, in your mind. Some alien kind of thing. You know the aliens? And has 1,000 eyes. في كل ألف عين ألف سواد وألف بياض. In every 1,000 eyes, there's 1,000 black and 1,000 white. وله ألف رجل. And it has 1,000 legs. وفي كل رجل ألف إصبع. And every leg there's 1,000 fingers or toes. في كل إصبع ألف ظفر. And in every finger there's 1,000 nails. طيب. وله ملايين الشعر. It has millions of hair. وفي كل شعر ملايين الشعر. In every hair there's millions of hair. وهكذا. And so on. طيب. يفرضه وإن لم يكن له واقع. You can assume that, man. You can imagine that. But where is it? There's no such thing in reality. لكن الشيء الواقع لا يمكن أن يوجد شيء بدون صفة. But the reality is nothing can exist unless it has a quality or an attribute that you recognize it by. Otherwise, you can't even discuss it because it's not there. You understand what I'm saying? But لهذا كان الإيمان بصفات الله من الإيمان بالله. This is why believing in the attributes of Allah is part of belief in Allah. لو لم يكن من صفات الله إلا أنه موجود واجب الوجود. Had it, even if لو لم يكن من صفات الله إلا أنه موجود واجب الوجود. Even if there isn't nothing, even if the only thing that we get from the attributes of Allah is the fact that it describes His existence, that makes the existence of others, يعني His existence is necessary for the existence of others. For us to be here, Allah Azza wa Jal had to bring us. Had Allah not existed, then no would you be here. So the existence of Allah is necessary for the existence of the people. If this is the only thing that's necessary for us to claim that Allah has attributes, then this would be sufficient. But it's actually more than that. وَهَذَا بَاتِّفَاقِ النَّاسِ وَعَلَى هَذَا فَلَا بُدَّ أَنْ يَكُونَ لَوْ صِفَةٍ. This is in agreement with the people. With that said, it's inevitable that Allah Azza wa Jal has an attribute. Allah must have some attributes. The least of them is that Allah exists in order for us to exist. Once you claim that, then you're given an attribute of Allah. Existence, Al-Hayy, Al-Qayyum, for instance. That has to be there. So then belief in Allah entails belief in the attributes of Allah. They go hand in hand. طيب. Second discussion, المبحث الثاني. أن صفات الله عز وجل من الأمور الغيبية. The attributes of Allah عز وجل is from the affairs of the unseen. It's from the affairs of the unseen. It's not something that is tangible, that you can see. You may live it, but والواجب على الإنسان نحو الأمور الغيبية أن يؤمن بها على ما جاءت دون أن يرجع إلى شيء سوى النصوص. Now he's taking us to the fundamentals of the teachings of Islam when it comes to belief, because the attributes of Allah is part of the unseen. That which is obligatory on one of us pertaining to the unseen is that we believe in it however it may come. huh? And we do not impose our mind. Rather, we go back to the textual evidence. You believe in the Quran, then whatever Allah said in the Quran, this is your reference right here. That's part of your iman in the Quran. Otherwise, you're denying the Quran. So, this is another way to discuss it, to prove the attributes of Allah. قال الإمام أحمد رحمه الله لا يوصف الله إلا بما وصف به نفسه أو وصفه به رسوله لا يتجاوز القرآن والحديث. Imam Ahmad, may Allah have mercy on him, said, Allah Azza wa Jal shall not be described except with that which he described himself with, or that which his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam described him with, and we should not transgress beyond the Quran and the Sunnah, the Hadith. Don't go beyond that. Don't go beyond that. Whatever is in the Quran and the Sunnah, that's it. يعني أننا لا نصف الله إلا بما وصف به نفسه في كتابه أو على لسان رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Meaning we do not attribute to Allah anything except that which he described himself with, or that which his messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم did, or Allah made him describe him through the tongue of his messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. The way Allah described himself on the tongue of his messenger Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Why? Because whatever the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم spoke, was it revelation or not? Revelation. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى. He does not speak of his own desire. It is a revelation being revealed to him. Even the sunnah. طيب. Now we're going to use two evidences to prove this established point here. The Quran and intelligence. The Quran is the asl. Intelligence is secondary. If your intelligence go against the Quran, put your intelligence aside. If your intelligence is functioning where it's in agreement with the Quran, nurun ala nur, light upon light, goodness upon goodness, alhamdulillah, it's in the Quran and you understand it. But some people don't understand, so then they go against the Quran. This is when you have a problem. ففي القرآن يقول الله عز وجل قل إنما حرم ربي الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن والإثم والبغي بغير الحق وأن تشركوا بالله ما لم ينزل به سلطانا وأن تقولوا على الله ما لا تعلمون. سورة الأعراف, verse number 33. I will roughly try to translate the interpretation of the meaning. I may have some issues there. Say, verily my Lord, verily only that which my Lord made forbidden is the fawahish, the يعني, horrible sins, the outrageous sins, that the ones يستفحش من الناس, that the people are really hated, the evil sins like fornication, drinking alcohol and things, not the small sins. ما ظهر منها وما بطن, that which appears thereof and that which is concealed. طيب. والإثم, and sin in general. First, فواحش is stronger than إثم. والبغي, and transgression, بغير الحق, without right. وأن تشركوا بالله ما لم ينزل به سلطانا, and that you shall associate or ascribe to Allah that which He did not give you any authority to do so with. طيب, to attribute partners with Allah without any authority, and inevitably there's no such authority, never been, that you will have a partner with Allah Azza wa Jal. And finally, وَأَنْ تَقُولُ عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, and that you shall say about Allah that which you have no knowledge of. That you shall say about Allah that which you have no knowledge of. Fundamental. Don't speak about Allah without knowledge. And I heard something that was disturbing not that long ago about a so-called debate with a Muslim and a Christian. And the Christian told the Muslim, where is your Prophet Muhammad? He said he's in Firdaus. He said, was he there when his grandson Al-Husayn was killed? He said, yes. He said, did he know about it, Yani? He said, yes. He said, did he ask Allah for help? He said, yes. I'm sitting there like, oof, oof. Ya akhi, where are you going with yourself? He said, what did Allah tell him? He said, Allah cried. Why? He's trying to refute the Christian, he's trying to refute them. He said he cried because if he wasn't able to help his son, then how is he going to help his grandson? He's trying to play games. He's trying to refute the Christian, because the Christians say that here's Jesus on the cross saying, Alahi, Alahi, lima sabakhtani, my God, Ilahi, Ilahi, why did you forsake me? And you know, God didn't help him. He let them die. So, you know, if he wasn't able to save his son, how is he going to save the grandson of the Muhammad, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Tayyib, whatever the point he's trying to prove, the bottom line is that this brother went way beyond to claim that Allah spoke with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Jannah and he complained to him and that Allah cried. This is هذا هو القول على الله بغير علم. This is speaking about Allah without knowledge. This is haram. Haram, regardless of your objective. If this Christian doesn't want to believe, inshallah let him never believe. Inshallah let him never believe. Your job is to tell him what Allah told you in the Quran from textual evidences that are enough for anyone with 2% brain to believe. It doesn't require any much. But to go to this extent and to speak about Allah and to say that Allah cried Jalla wa ala fi ula like that, as if this is irregular, just so you could refute someone, this is unacceptable. Unacceptable. This is among the dangers of these debates that often happen. That really not the way of da'wah. Not the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Never been done by the companions where they brought someone and said, come on, let's bring the people and I'm gonna burn you out publicly. I'm gonna embarrass you publicly. I'm gonna humiliate you publicly. And because if you mess up, man, if you mess up you're in trouble. If he proves himself right because of some shubha he has and you don't have enough knowledge to answer, now all these people think that Christianity is a religion of truth because you did not know how to support Islam properly, you're in trouble. So only people who are qualified, and even then it is not the way of the Prophet ﷺ to do these kind of things. But may Allah have mercy on all of this, and those who were partook in that, they benefited, alhamdulillah, people. But for us, we leave that alone, inshallah. And we do the da'wah in an old, or the traditional way. You sit with someone and you explain to them the truth, and Allah Azza wa Jalla is the one who guides. It doesn't require more than that. Very often, these debates, the people wind up supporting the person out of just blindly, because of some, because of just emotions, They know he's wrong. He was proven wrong. But this is their guy. This is their representative. So they will go with him on purpose, more against the truth after it became clear. You know what I'm saying? Because he was embarrassed publicly and they want to support him and show that we're on your side. They're not going to forsake him right in front of the people. Okay, I'll become a Muslim now. So this is among the things that the scholars mentioned. Wallahu a'lam. Al-Muhim. This is the ayah, dalil, the first dalil from the Quran. Don't speak about Allah Azza wa Jalla without knowledge. فَإِذَا وَصَفْتَ اللَّهَ بِصِفَةٍ لَمْ يَصِفْ اللَّهُ بِهَا نَفْسَهُ فَقَدْ قُلْتَ عَلَيْهِ مَا لَمْ تَعْلَمْ وَهَذَا مُحَرَّمٌ بِنَصِّ الْقُرْآنِ. As we mentioned, so if you describe Allah with a quality that he did not describe himself with, then you have spoken about Allah without knowledge, and this is haram according to the nas, the textual evidence from the Quran. Clear.
Unlawful,
يعني prohibited and or forbidden is stronger. نعم. ويقول الله عز وجل ولا تقف ما ليس لك به علم إن السمع والبصر والفؤاد كل أولئك كان عنه مسؤولا. سورة الإسراء verse 36. And do not chase that which you have no knowledge of, as that brother did. Do not speak about that which you have no knowledge of. Don't go around seeking things and looking for things. Verily, the hearing and the sight and the heart, all these you will be questioned about. What you have done with them. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَوْ وَصَفْنَا اللَّهُ بِمَا لَمْ يَصِفْ بِهِ نَفْسَهُ لَكُنَّا قَفَوْنَا مَا لَيْسَ لَنَا بِهِ عِلْمٍ فَوَقَعْنَا بِمَا نَهَى اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. And had we described Allah with that which he did not describe himself with, then we would have fallen into that who is seeking that, seek it and do not chase. We would have fallen into that who chases that which he has no knowledge of. Then we would have fallen into exactly what Allah had made prohibited for us or forbidden. طيب. This is as far as the Quran is concerned. And there's more evidences, but this is sufficient. The Shaykh mentioned these. أما الدليل العقلي, as for the intellect now. Now, common sense, if or aql is more not common sense, is intellect. فَلِأَنَّ صِفَاتِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ مِنَ الْأُمُورِ الْغَيْبِيَّةِ وَلَا يُمْكِنُ فِي الْأُمُورِ الْغَيْبِيَّةِ أَنْ يُدْرِكَهَا الْعَقْلُ وحينئذ لا نصف الله بما لم يصف به نفسه ولا نكيف صفاته لأن ذلك غير ممكن. طيب, as for the intellectual evidence or the mind kind of thing, is because Allah Azza wa Jalla, the attributes of Allah is from the unseen. The attributes of Allah is part of the unseen, and we know that we are unable to understand the unseen with our mind alone. Right? You cannot understand the reality of Jahannam, the reality of Jannah. You may think, but Allah says it's beyond that. I have prepared for my righteous servants ما لا عين رأت ولا أذن سمعت ولا خطر على قلب بشر. I prepared for my righteous servants what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and never come across a human's mind. You cannot truly encompass the unseen in understanding. It's merely the title and the belief that we have because Allah Azza wa Jalla told us about it. But the reality of it, even the grave, the reality of the grave and the angels and you being asked to sit up by the angels, where the appearance that they will have, the fact that they will speak to you, ask you, you will answer. Yani, something beyond us. Your mind cannot truly. We believe, like we are speaking now. We're not saying because we don't understand, we don't believe. But can you really encompass it with your understanding? No. The attributes of Allah is like that. It's like that. You will not be able to encompass them. So you have to refer to the textual evidences. You have to refer to the textual evidences. You have no choice but to refer to the Quran and the Sunnah. So that way, we will not describe Allah except with that which He described Himself with, and we will not give the kayfiyah or how the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jalla are, their nature, because this is impossible. This is impossible. نحن الآن لا ندرك ما سبحان الله. نحن الآن لا ندرك ما وصف الله به نعيم الجنة من حيث الحقيقة مع أنه مخلوق. He says, now we do not understand what Allah has described the Jannah with, although it is the truth and it is created. يعني, he's trying to prove a point. Jannah is created or not?
Yes.
If it's created and we're unable to understand, then what about the Creator? See what I'm saying? في الجنة فاكهة ونخل ورمان وسرر وأكواب وحور. In Jannah there's fruits and there's palm trees and there's the other fruit, I don't know what. وسرر beds, وأكواب cups, وحور women. ونحن لا ندرك حقيقة هذه الأشياء. We truly do not grasp the reality of these things. ولو قيل صفها لنا لا نستطيع وصفها. If someone said describe it for me, he will not be able to describe it. لقوله تعالى لا تعلم نفس ما أخفي لهم من قرة أعين جزاء بما كانوا يعملون. No soul knows what has been concealed or hidden or prepared for it, يعني, from a pleasure of the eye as a reward for that which they used to do. ولقوله تعالى في الحديث القدسي أعددت لعبادي الصالحين ما لا عين رأت ولا أذن سمعت ولا خطر على قلب بشر. From now on I should read before I speak on my own, because I wound up repeating things. طيب. He says, and because of the hadith Qudsi where Allah Azza wa Jalla says, I have prepared for my righteous servants what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and never come across a human's heart. طيب. فإذا كان هذا في المخلوق الذي وصف بصفات معلومة المعنى ولا نعلم حقيقتها فكيف بالخالق. He says, if this is the case with that which is created, and we actually know these attributes, we don't know its essence, but we know it. When you say palm trees and fruits, we know what these are. We know what they are. And with that, and it is the creation of Allah, we really don't know it in essence as far as encompassing in mind. Then what about the Creator? Beyond us. نعم. مثال آخر. Actually, we will let's see here, 753. Inshallah, خلاص. We will stop now. We are in the middle of that, and we stopped. Remind me, inshallah, next week if Allah Azza wa Jalla give us the life endurance. نحن الآن أيوة. مثال آخر. الإنسان فيه روح لا يحيا إلا بها. For example, the human has a soul that he is not alive except with that soul. And then the Shaykh rahimahullah will continue trying to give us the correct understanding of this particular aspect. هذا والله تعالى أعلم. والحمد لله وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. تلميذ ابن تيمية ابن القيم. ابن القيم تلميذ ابن تيمية. نعم. هو إمام الذهبي. إمام الذهبي ابن كثير. ابن كثير. كلهم these are all the students of ابن تيمية. ابن كثير. نعم التفسير. إيه. الإمام الذهبي الحافظ الذهبي ابن القيم الجوزية.
ابن حجر
لا ما أظن ابن حجر. ابن حجر كان معاصر. نعم وما أدري إذا كان تلميذه. Hey, but all these were prominent scholars in Islam. They were the students of Sheikh al-Islam. رحم الله وعلي. He's in prison. نعم. عفى الله عن الجميع. طيب سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.